Evening. Welcome back once again to One Step Beyond. We now begin tonight's archive program. It's going to deal with CIA connections to the SNL scandal, also with closely related, interrelated, and possibly related items dealing with a number of different things. I'm going to give you a rundown of basically what we're going to be hearing this evening. This will certainly go into the archives, probably as an addendum to either Radio Free America 34 or Radio Free America 35, dealing with the Iran-Contra scandal, the sixth and seventh programs, respectively, in the Iran-Contra series. Perhaps I'll include this as a miscellaneous archive show instead. At any event, it will be in the archives, however, whether as an addendum to a Radio Free America show or as a separate archive program, I don't know at this time. However, once again, for those of you who are in a position to do so, please tape. I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what we're going to be listening to this evening, and then we will break ever so quickly for a little music by way of punctuation, and then we're going to get into the main body of tonight's broadcast. Pete Brewton, B-R-E-W-T-O-N, of the Houston Post, has been doing a very important series of exposés in, of course, the Houston Post, dealing with CIA and organized crime connections to some of the failed savings and loan institutions which have precipitated the savings and loan scandal. We're going to be going into some of those articles, not all of them. There's been a long series of articles, but we're going to go into the most important of those articles and the most important aspects of those particular articles this evening. We're going to begin with an article from February 4th, the first article in the series, which will give you some idea of the parameters of the CIA-SNL scandal and the connection between the CIA and some of the SNL failures. The most significant aspect of this first article is a list of the various SNLs which have failed, apparently, according to information developed here and elsewhere. These SNLs have failed in part because of bad loans made in part because of the influence of CIA and organized crime figures. One of the savings and loans listed here is the Silverado Savings and Loan of Denver, Colorado. Now, one of the directors of the Silverado Savings and Loan, who, according to articles developed in the mainstream press, was involved with approving some of the bad loans of Silverado Savings and Loan, well, that individual, that director, was none other than Neil Bush, the son, or one of the sons, of President George Bush, former CIA director, and an individual whose activities have been very strongly and heavily implicated in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. Nothing more, as far as I know, has come out about the Silverado Savings and Loan connection to the CIA-SNL scandal, but it is interesting simply in this first article to see the Silverado Savings and Loan mentioned. That, to me, remains the single most interesting and quite possibly, if it ever comes out and is fully explored, quite possibly the most significant aspect of this particular connection, that is the CIA-SNL connection. Then we're going to go into a very, very interesting case which involves a fellow named Farhad Azima. This is the failure of the Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City, Kansas, and it involves, as do all of these articles, a tortuous milieu involving organized crime and intelligence. The most single most significant aspect of this particular case, the Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City and its failure, is that it involves not only a fellow named Farhad Azima, who appears to have very strong connections both to the American far right as well as to the intelligence community, but ultimately the Global International Airlines, which has been implicated in the failure of Indian Springs State. That particular airline has been closely connected in this article to EATSCO, the Egyptian-American transportation company that was put together by many of the key players both in the Iran-Contra scandal and in the earlier Triple Wilson operations in Libya. The same, or many of the same players in the EATSCO scandal have also, as I said, been implicated in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal, including the Christic Institute suit. And we'll be talking about Global International Airways, its connections to EATSCO, its connections to the Indian Springs State Bank, and a lot of interesting people who run in and out of the organized crime intelligence milieu here, and a lot of interesting evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. That second article comes from February 8th of this year. Again, Houston Post, Pete Brewton. Then we're going to take a look at another very interesting case, also with evidentiary tributaries running in the direction of the Iran-Contra scandal. This involves the failure of the People's Savings and Loan in Llano, Texas. Now, a fellow named Ray Corona took money out of People's Savings and Loan, $3 million to be exact, and used it to prop up his Sunshine State Bank in Florida, which was at that point being investigated by federal authorities. That propping up was only temporary, as Mr. Corona was unable to get the money back to Llano. Llano went down as a result. Now, the interesting thing is that the Sunshine State Savings Bank was revealed by a former associate of Ray Corona and his father's to have been started by, at least according to this fellow, Tony Fernandez, a convicted drug smuggler who turned state's evidence. According to former Corona associate and later former and later informer on Ray Corona, according to Tony Fernandez, the Sunshine State Bank was started with money from drug profits. Interestingly enough, an unindicted co-conspirator in Tony Fernandez's drug smuggling operations, which were linked by Fernandez himself to Corona and Sunshine State Bank's operations, well, that was a fellow named Frank Castro, who figures very prominently in the Iran-Contra scandal. Well, he was also a figure who was named in the Kerry Committee's investigation, as badly compromised as that was, or Kerry Subcommittee investigation, I should say. He also has been linked, along with associate Paco, or Francisco Paco Chanez. He's also been involved in the Christic Institute's lawsuit as well. I don't believe Castro himself is a defendant, although I may be wrong. I don't know all 29 defendants off the top of my head. I know that Francisco Paco Chanez is, as is a fellow named Moises Nunez, who's an associate of those individuals. We will look at the connections of Frank Castro, Francisco Paco Chanez, and Moises Nunez. We'll take a look at all of their connections to each other, to aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. We will also take a look at an excellent unpublished manuscript by Peter Dale Scott, or part of it, which explains some of the connections between some of these individuals, some of the operations described in the Kerry Subcommittee's report, and some of the operations currently being investigated and hopefully run down in the Christic Institute's ongoing case. That, again, from the Houston Post of February 18th. Of 1990. If this sounds confusing, we're going to go into this in at greater length and in greater detail. It still probably will sound confusing because it's a tangled web, a very tangled web indeed, and it should always be remembered that when you're dealing with the intelligence community, they don't do things in such a way as to make them obvious, or at least not intentionally to make them obvious. A covert operation is just that. They don't send out engraved invitations for a covert operation, and people acting undercover don't wear Delaney tags. One is not likely to see somebody wearing a sign saying, "Hello, my name is Bill. I'm working undercover for the Defense Intelligence Agency." So always one is left with the necessity of extrapolating intelligently on the basis of available information. And again, with the aid of an excellent unpublished manuscript by Peter Dale Scott, we will attempt to reveal what in all probability underlies some of the fascinating connections currently being brought to light by Pete Bruton, again, in the Houston Post, rather. Tragically, these articles have not been picked up by the mainstream national press. A few alternative publications have touched on them, but that's about it. We are going to, after taking a look at the February 18th, 1990 article, we are going to go into the Contra Drug Connection. That is an unpublished manuscript put out by the brilliant Berkeley researcher Peter Dale Scott, Professor Peter Dale Scott of the University of California at Berkeley, and we're going to go into, first of all, some of the operations of Messrs. Chanez, Castro, Nunez, René Corvo. We're going to take a look at a seafood company, and the name of that company is the Frigoríficos de Punta Arenas, and that's a very important name to remember. Frigoríficos de Punta Arenas, because it's going to help tie up a lot of things, or that name will tie up a lot of perhaps initially disparate-appearing connections that are going to be brought to light in the broadcast this evening. After the Peter Dale Scott manuscript, we're going to take a look at another one of Pete Bruton's articles from the Houston Post, this from February 21st of 1990, and that talks about how the CIA is reluctant to testify before a congressional panel which is trying to get to the bottom of this particular case. And again, that comes from the Houston Post of February 21st, 1990. We're then going to move a little bit afield, although perhaps not afield at all, who knows. We are then going to move into some articles which deal with the same sorts of operations that are implicated in the CIA and SNL scandal. We're going to take a look at some apparently CIA and or intelligence-connected drug smuggling cases. We're going to begin by reviewing a very interesting case which we've dealt with before, and this may intersect with both the Iran-Contra scandal and with the apparently related CIA-SNL case, or CIA-SNL connection, because the failure of the savings and loans institutions and the resulting bailout, courtesy of you and me with our tax dollars, that's far larger than just the CIA connections to it. We're going to take a look at a very important article that appeared in a publication called Westword, Denver's News and Arts Weekly, and it deals with the Sunflow case, a drug smuggling operation which apparently was CIA connected, quite possibly, to the Iran-Contra scandal. The names of both George and Neil Bush have cropped up. And interestingly enough, one of the people who was apparently involved in helping to traffic the Sunflow name around, whether or not he was involved in illegal activities has yet to be determined. As yet, there have been no hints that that is the case. But a fellow named Arthur Fletcher, a black Republican prominent in the Washington, D.C. area, was one of the individuals apparently involved with, at least according to some people, George and Neil Bush in the Sunflow case. Interestingly enough, George Bush recently selected Arthur Fletcher to head up to be chairman of the Federal Civil Rights Commission. Fletcher also, in the past, has run for mayor of Washington, D.C. against the unfortunate Mayor Barry, who we'll touch on ever so briefly this evening as well. We are then going to take a look at a very interesting connection to the Noriega trial, which will be coming up next year. That is a fellow named Alfredo Sanchez, who is a federal informer, who was dealing with some of the same people, informing on some of the same people implicated in the Iran-Contra scandal, the apparently related CIA and SNL connection. And we're going to take a look at a case, an unnamed case in Denver, Colorado, which apparently Sanchez was involved in. Now, whether there's any connection between this Denver case, which apparently figures very prominently in the upcoming trial of Noriega, whether there's any connection between the Denver case and the Sunflow case in Colorado, and in turn, the Silverado savings and loan case, well, that is the $64,000 question. And whether or not a definitive answer to that ever comes out remains to be seen. But at the very least, we're going to take a look at some of these institutions and items and to ask the question, are they in fact connected? Because there are some indications that that may be the case. Certainly, the implications of their being connected warrants investigation by capable authorities. We're then also, after that, I should say, going to review some information from an excellent article that appeared in Penthouse magazine in July of 1989 called Snowbound. Some of that same information is in a miscellaneous archive show about the U.S. invasion of Panama that I call a December Surprise 89, the U.S. invasion of Panama. We're going to review some information about Operation Eagle, later known as Operation Black Eagle, one of the operations linking General Noriega, the CIA, drug smuggling, and some of the same people that we're looking at in the CIA savings and loan connection, also in the drug tug Lenvest case. We're then going to look at some more information about the murder of Hugo Spadafora from Peter Dale Scott's unpublished manuscript and relate that directly to Noriega, and in turn, the Frigoríficos de Puntarenas and some of the same individuals that we're looking at in connection with the Kerry Committee, the Kerry Subcommittee report, the Christic Institute's lawsuit, and apparently also the CIA-SNL case, or connection, I should say, because it's really part of a larger case. We're then going to take a look at a recent case of foot-in-mouth disease. Also a brutally ironic situation, as ironic as Arthur Fletcher, implicated in certain respects in the Sunflow case, the same Arthur Fletcher who challenged Marion Barry, poor old crack-smoking Marion Barry, and I don't sanction his activities, but it's ironic in light of all the press given Marion Barry that some seemingly more important questions about the possibility of Arthur Fletcher in the Sunflow operation have not been asked in the same context. Anyway, former U.S. Attorney Joseph Russaniello in San Francisco put his foot in his mouth, stating that he felt the Bay Area was a very likely candidate for illegal drug smuggling because of the large Latin population and Latin's disposition towards drug smuggling. Well, this is a very good case of someone that should not be pointing the accusing finger. If ever someone lived in a glass house, it's Joseph Russaniello, and whether or not someone ever tosses a stone through that glass house remains to be seen. We, at the very least, are going to conduct a bit of a rock concert this evening, I guess you could say. We're going to take a look at old Honest Joe Russaniello, the bane of the local Latino community, and some of his own implications, some of his activities adjacent to Contra-related drug smuggling activity. And Rusiniello's name crops up in more than one context in connection with possible Contra drug smuggling activities. One of the places it comes up in connection with is the aforementioned Drug Tug case. We're going to review Drug Tug case part 4, some of the adjacent elements to Rusiniello, and we're then going to, in the last section of tonight's broadcast, we're going to take a look at the implications, I think, of the Drug Tug case, which perhaps will ultimately intersect with the items that we've gone into this evening. It certainly intersects with the Iran-Contra scandal, with some of the activities implicated in the Kerry Committee subcommittee's report, some of the activities that are implicated in the Christic Institute's lawsuit. We're going to review the San Francisco Chronicle from Christmas Day. Noriega asks asylum, and a couple of the key players in the Drug Tug case get yanked in. We're going to have a phone call from our Napa Sentinel. That's a nickname that I have applied to a very diligent, very active, and very heroic listener named Dave also, who has been the main link between myself and the Napa Sentinel, Harry Martin, and he's also the fellow who has helped provide the Christic Institute with their information on the Drug Tug case, which, tragically, they don't appear to have used to full effect. But, c'est la guerre. We're going to hear from Dave, our Napa Sentinel, via phone hookup later in the evening, and he is going to give us some information that just came out Friday in the Napa Sentinel. And this concerns, apparently, Congressman Bosco's attempts to frustrate the investigation into the savings and loan scandal. Congressman Bosco is also one of the 17 signatories to a very tacky letter that was sent to Costa Rican President Arias, urging him not to put the heat on John Hull, one of the people implicated in the Kerry subcommittee's report, also implicated in the Christic Institute's lawsuit, of course, and also, last but most assuredly not least, implicated in the Drug Tug case. He has now been indicted or formally named in Costa Rica, not only in connection with the La Penca bombing, but also drug smuggling activity. Congressman Bosco, in whose district Napa and the Drug Tug Lenvest case basically are located, he was one of the 17 signatories to the letter to President Arias. He also apparently was involved with helping to or attempting to frustrate investigation into the SNL scandals. Whether or not there is any connection between those items and, in turn, the Drug Tug Lenvest case, anybody's guess, but certainly we are taking note of it in that context this evening and asking the question, the musical question, the all-important musical question, is there any connection between Mr. Bosco's activities, Drug Tug Lenvest, and the SNL-CIA connection? We'll be hearing from Dave, our Napa Sentinel, this evening, also going to report on some unpleasant activities that he has been subjected to, and I've had my share of visitations as well. We're going to conclude the formal, the prepared portion of the broadcast this evening with a very important and terrifying article. The only newspaper, the only one of my dailies that I saw this in, was the San Francisco Examiner from this past Wednesday. Judge Hovler, in ruling on the or setting a date for the trial of General Noriega, has provided for the banning, the preclusion from evidence of published information. In other words, information that may have come out in a book or newspaper or magazine. Even if information is already in the public domain, Judge Hovler has provided that that information can, upon the discretion of the court, for national security reasons, be barred from evidence. And there really, I haven't seen a lot of discussion about this, but this is a momentous ruling. The constitutional implications of this literally could not be exaggerated. And tragically, it has not received the discussion that it should have. People are sort of rolling along with this, and it does not seem to me to be something that people should be rolling along with. In any case, we're not going to roll with it here. We're going to talk about it. We're going to kick it around a bit, and that will conclude the prepared portion of tonight's broadcast. I will move as briskly as I reasonably can so that hopefully we'll have a little chance for listeners to respond later on in the broadcast. Get ready now for the main body of the broadcast. That's what we have on deck, and we're going to be battening the hatches here in just a second. We got a wind in our sails, and we're heading for Thailand. We're going to see if we can reestablish the Drug Tug's route here. Anyway, that's what we have on tap. Stay tuned. Well, good evening. Welcome back once again to One Step Beyond. It's time now for us to begin our archive show on the CIA and the SNLs. One of the major news stories of the last year and a half or so has been the failure of a great many of this country's savings and loan institutions due to abuses pursuant to a relaxation of the regulatory, basically of the regulations imposed by the federal government on the SNL industry. This failure has mandated a bailout of so far several hundred billions of dollars, courtesy of you and I, the U.S. taxpayer, and ultimately it figures to require considerably more than that. Recently, the Houston Post has been coming out with a very fine series of articles, all of them authored by Pete Brewton, last name B-R-E-W-T-O-N, an investigative reporter with the Houston Post, and a very diligent listener has been providing those to us as they come out. And research credit on all of the Houston Post articles by Pete Brewton goes to that listener, and we all owe that listener a tremendous tip of the hat and a tremendous amount of thanks, because without his efforts, although I have gotten a lot of the articles from other places, without his efforts, we would not be getting the information that we're going to be going into this evening. Now, this first Houston Post article is from the Houston Post of February 4th, 1990. It's, again, by Pete Brewton, copyright 1990 by the Houston Post, and it's headlined, Evidence Finds CIA Operatives May Be Implicated in Failure of 22 SNLs. And the article reads in part as follows. Evidence related to the nation's savings and loan crisis suggests a possible link between the Central Intelligence Agency and organized crime in the failure of at least 22 thrifts, including 16 in Texas. The Houston Post, during an 8-month investigation into the role of fraud in SNL failures, has found numerous links between organized crime figures and CIA operatives, including some involved in gun running, drug smuggling, money laundering, and covert aid to the Nicaraguan Contras. The evidence obtained by the Post from court documents, sworn testimony, law enforcement records, and interviews with key government investigators and prosecutors suggests that the CIA may have used part of the proceeds from SNL fraud to help pay for covert operations and other activities that Congress was unwilling to support publicly. The CIA denied that the agency has used savings and loans to fund covert activities. Quote, that would be a violation of U.S. laws, and we do not violate U.S. laws, said CIA spokesman Mark Mansfield. The Post, however, found evidence that the CIA has intervened in criminal investigations involving agency operatives accused of SNL fraud and may be at least partially responsible for the fact that a substantial amount of suspected fraud has gone unprosecuted. Lloyd Monroe, a former prosecutor with the Justice Department's Organized Crime Strike Force, said the federal agencies responsible for investigating SNL fraud are not in the, quote, position to investigate wrongdoing, and are being precluded from investigating wrongdoing that is possibly being conducted in the name of national security, unquote. Monroe, now a fellow at Brown University, asked rhetorically, quote, how do you expect the government to investigate itself? Richard Brennecke, a former CIA contract agent, testified in September of 1988 during a federal court trial in Denver that the CIA had set up a systematic program to raise money for the Contras. Support for the Contras became a point of controversy in 1984 when the Democratic-controlled Congress cut off aid to the Contras after revelations that the CIA had helped mine Nicaraguan harbors. Yet there were allegations that CIA aid continued despite the ban. The late William Casey, then director of the CIA, and Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North, then a White House aide, had wanted to set up self-sustaining operations that would not be dependent on Congress for approval and funding. One of these was the program to sell arms to Iran and divert the profits to the Contras, a scheme that led to North's resignation and subsequent prosecution for his role in the affair. Brennecke said the CIA effort to raise money for covert operations involved a number of schemes to siphon funds from financial institutions, quote, at the expense of an insurance company, unquote, meaning the Federal Deposit Insurance Program. After the trial, Brennecke told the Post that the banking and SNL officials involved in such schemes were required to sign secrecy agreements, quote-unquote, with the CIA. The Post in 1988 reported that a number of failed Texas SNLs had connections to reputed organized crime figures Mario Renda, R-E-N-D-A, and Herman K. Beebe, B-E-E-B-E, or perhaps Beebe, I don't know how that's pronounced, who both later pleaded guilty to bank fraud in separate cases. That last sentence again. The Post in 1988 reported that a number of failed Texas SNLs had connections to reputed organized crime figures Mario Renda and Herman K. Beebe, who both later pleaded guilty to bank fraud in separate cases. Since then, the Post has found possible links between the CIA and SNL fraud, as well as additional evidence of connections between organized crime figures and failed thrifts. The 22 collapsed SNLs not only include large institutions such as Mainland Savings in Houston and Sunbelt Savings in Dallas, but tiny thrifts such as Vision Bank Savings in Kingsville. In each case, the institution made substantial loans to people with links to organized crime, the CIA, or both. 18 of the 22 were either owned or controlled by people with links to organized crime, the CIA, or both. And in each institution's failure, fraud was a key factor. All told, their demise could eventually cost taxpayers an estimated $13 billion to cover federally insured deposits. Monroe, who successfully prosecuted Renda in Kansas City, said although he is convinced the CIA either masterminded or condoned a certain amount of SNL fraud, proving it would be extremely difficult. To get to the bottom of it would take 10 times the effort, unquote, it took to put Renda behind bars, Monroe said. It's like trying to grab smoke, said Bruce Maffeo, M-A-F-F-E-O, former special prosecutor with the Justice Department's Organized Crime Strike Force in Brooklyn. Congress has done little to spotlight the full scope of SNL fraud, with the possible exception of the House Banking Committee under U.S. Representative Henry B. Gonzalez, Democrat of Texas. His committee has been investigating Charles Keating and the failure of his Lincoln Savings in California. Skipping down. As matters now stand, Monroe said, CIA and high government officials who might have had ties to people involved in SNL fraud can maintain the facade of plausible deniability, unquote, that they ordered or condoned anything improper. At the same time, Monroe said, the CIA knows that these people are going to use their financial institutions for CIA purposes and are going to come to the CIA when they get in trouble, unquote. That next-to-last paragraph again. As matters now stand, Monroe said, CIA and high government officials who might have had ties to people involved in SNL fraud can maintain the facade of plausible deniability, quote-unquote, that they ordered or condoned anything improper. The whole question here of connections to people who are very important, connections to some of the high movers and shakers, is front and center. Now, remember the Mainland Savings Bank in Houston? That was one of the larger of the SNLs that failed, allegedly due to combined CIA and organized crime influence. Also remember the name Mario Renda, R-E-N-D-A. He's one of the people implicated in the failure of the Mainland Savings Bank. He is also going to be one of the main people implicated in the failure of the Indian River State Savings Bank, although that's not one of the banks on the list here that is provided in this first February 4th, 1990 article by the Houston Post. However, in addition to Mainland Savings, this first article is significant because they have the list of the 22 banks, and number 22, and the bank which had the third largest assets of all of the 22, and which will cost the United States cost the U.S. taxpayer the third highest amount, is the Silverado Savings and Loan of Denver, Colorado. Now, I'm not going to go into articles about the Silverado Savings and Loan on this particular broadcast. There have been a lot of articles in the mainstream daily press. Not a lot of articles, but it's possible to find articles in the mainstream press about the Silverado Savings and Loan. And the key name here is Neil Bush, George Bush's son. Neil Bush is a director of the Silverado Savings and Loan, and according to most accounts, he helped approve the loans which ultimately brought Silverado down. Now, ultimately, whether or not some of the Neil Bush-approved loans that helped bring Silverado down turn out to be connected to the allegations listed here or set forth in the Houston Post concerning CIA SNL fraud connections, well, that remains to be seen. To my mind, that is the single most important, or potentially most important, link here. Neil Bush and the Silverado Savings and Loan, to what extent that may be connected to drug smuggling, to CIA-connected drug smuggling, activities of that type, it remains to be seen. Of course, in a miscellaneous archive show called George Bush and the Shooting of Ronald Reagan, we went into the connections between the Hinckley family and the Bush family. Interestingly enough, John Hinckley, the convicted would-be assassin of George Bush, his older brother, Scott Hinckley, was scheduled to have dinner with Neil Bush to discuss a business deal the evening on which Hinckley allegedly shot Ronald Reagan. So we've looked at Mr. Bush, or Neil Bush, that is, in the past, and again, whether or not his role as a director of the Silverado Savings and Loan and his apparent role in helping to approve some of the loans that brought some of the bad loans that brought Silverado down, whether that hooks up with the CIA and SNL connection, and whether in turn, as we look at later in the broadcast, there's any connection between that case and between the Sunflow case, And in turn, whether that connects up with an unnamed Denver case that's being talked about in connection with federal informant Alfredo Sanchez. Well, as I like to say, FFTGFFR, food for thought, grounds for further research. A long-standing category here on One Step Beyond, which means exactly what it says. Basically, we don't know, but there are indications that may be the case. Let's find out whether or not, in fact, it is. We're now going to go into two of the most important of the Houston Post articles. There's a small article that came out the same day, February 4th, about a fellow named Frank Corson, whose name also crops up later. It's not one of the central articles in this particular case, and because we have so much information to go into, I'm not going to go into all of the articles that have come out in the Houston Post series. I'm still waiting to see some information about the Silverado Savings and Loan. Other than that mention in the very first article in the list of banks, there's nothing mentioned so far in the articles that I've gotten from the Houston Post about Silverado Savings and Loan and or Neil Bush. Remains to be seen. One of the most important of the articles that Pete Bruton has come out with came out 4 days after the article I just read you. That's February 8, 1990, and again, research credit on this goes to that same diligent listener of ours. This is an article which deals with a fellow named Farhad Azima, F-A-R-H-A-D and A-Z-I-M-A is his last name. He's an Iranian national, or a native of Iran, and this fellow has, as I like to say, more connections than a switchboard. He basically is one of the central people involved in the failure of the Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City, Kansas, and one of the major factors in helping to bring down that bank was some bad loans made to Global International Airways. We're going to take a look at the profound connections between Global International Airways and many of the same people and institutions involved in the Iran-Contra scandal, the Christic Institute suit, and many of the activities of that group of veteran intelligencers known by the Christic Institute, or termed by the Christic Institute, the Secret Team. Now, again, Houston Post, February 8th, 1990. We're going to go out in just a second here. I'm going to refresh my reading capacity here. A drink of water, and away we go. Now, I'm going to just give you a rundown of the major players in this particular article. This is a complicated tangle. I'm not even going to read you all of the article because it gets pretty dizzying. And in order to, I think, keep track of the basic elements here so that we have some sort of working grasp of what we're dealing with, I'm going to just sketch the most important elements and try to detail some of the relationships there. Otherwise, I think the critical information presented in this series is likely to degenerate into an amorphous mass of names and institutions, and some of the relationships would not necessarily be clear in that mass of information. Not that the articles shouldn't be dealt with ultimately in their entirety, but I think for radio purposes and for practical purposes, some of the names are not all that important and are likely to obscure the very critical connections in this very important series. Now, the bank failure that we're dealing with, again, is the Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City, Kansas. The main names associated with that are the aforementioned Farhad Azima, also Mario Renda, a fellow that was referred to in the earlier article. There's a fellow named Anthony Russo, and all of these individuals intersect not only with the Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas, but they also intersect with Global International Airways. Now, Global and a bad loan to Global helped bring down Indian Springs State, I should say. Now, Mario Renda also had connections to Adnan Khashoggi. He, of course, is a weapons dealer who was one of the central players in the Iran-Contra scandal. Global International Airways, according to testimony or information obtained by the Houston Post, was apparently owned by Itzko through third parties or cutouts. Itzko was a corporation put together in order to basically traffic weapons into Egypt, pursuant to the Camp David agreements. Many of the individuals who profited in this are some of the same individuals involved in the Iran-Contra scandal, in the Turpel and Wilson operations in Libya. So Global International Airways is connected to Indian State Savings Bank. The main names connected to Indian State are Mario Renda, Anthony Russo, Farhad Azima. Itzko apparently owns Global International Airways, at least according to information presented in this article. Now, Mario Renda, bear in mind, in addition to his connections to Indian State, Global, and through Global to Itzco, his connections to Anthony Russo and Farhad Azima, is connected to Adnan Khashoggi. Now, in addition to Global International Airways, there are two other airlines to bear in mind here, both of which, according to information presented in this article, intersect with Global International Airways. Those airlines are Southern Air Transport and Race, either Race Airways or Race Airlines. Now, Race apparently rented some space from Global International, or perhaps it was the other way around. We'll get into that in the article. But Race rented office space from Global International. Global apparently serviced some airplanes in conjunction with Southern Air Transport. Race Airways, or Race Airlines, was involved in shipping some of the TOW missiles to Iran as part of the agreement set up as underneath the Iran-Contra agreement. Basically, weapons were sold to Iran. The profits were then diverted from that operation to supporting the Contras. Race Airlines, one of the organizations involved in getting the TOW missiles to Iran. That also intersects with Global. Southern Air Transport, of course, was very much involved in flying some of the supplies to the Contras. Southern Air Transport, in turn, shares operations, servicing operations, maintenance operations with Global, according to a former Global pilot that is quoted in this particular article. In any event, reviewing very quickly, we have Indian Springs State, I'm going to have to get that, I keep saying Indian State, Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas. That goes down in considerable measure as a result of Global International Airways and a bad loan made to that. Global, apparently, is owned by Itzco, an operation involving some of the same Purple Wilson team that were involved in the Christic Institute suit and that we've looked at for so many years here on this broadcast. The main names associated with Indian Springs State Bank: Azima, Russo, and Renda. Renda is connected to Khashoggi as well. Global, in turn, intersects with two other airlines, Southern Air Transport and Race Airways, both involved in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. Race in getting arms to Iran, Southern Air Transport in getting arms to the Contras, and quite possibly getting drugs then back into the United States as well. Those are the main connections. Three airlines, Global, Race, and Southern Air Transport, all connected. Those, in turn, connected to Itzco, and Global, in turn, connected to the Indian Springs State Bank. The main names associated there: Azima, Russo, and Renda. How all of those things relate? Well, Pete Bruton has set them forth in the Houston Post of February 8th of 1990 as follows. This is an article datelined, "A Bank's Shadowy Demise," subheaded, "Investigators Say Probe Was Blocked Because of CIA Link." It's datelined Kansas City. Federal authorities who investigated the failure of a small Kansas bank during the mid-1980s were advised to back off a key figure in its collapse because he had ties to the Central Intelligence Agency, sources involved in the probe have told the Houston Post. The investigation centered on Farhad Azima, 48, a native Iranian whose family had ties to the Shah and whose name is linked in court documents and other evidence to the CIA and a number of organized crime figures. Azima was the fourth largest shareholder in Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City, Kansas. He and his companies, including Global International Airways, borrowed more than $1 million from the bank. The airline got its start in 1978, shipping cattle to Iran and filed for bankruptcy 5 years later. Azima has also contributed money to Republican and Democratic candidates, although records show the bulk of his donations have gone to the GOP. In 1986, he was allowed to reschedule his testimony in a federal court case so he could attend a Washington function for key Republican donors. Global International, based in Kansas City, Missouri, started with one Boeing 707 aircraft. The fleet grew to 14 707s, making Global one of the nation's largest charter airlines. Indian Springs records indicate that Global was overdrawn at the bank by an average of $150,000 a day. When Global filed for bankruptcy in late 1983, it listed $15 million in debts to unsecured creditors, including about $280,000 to Indian Springs. The bank, located in a strip shopping center, had about $27 million in deposits when it failed in January of 1984. Azima's Global, quote, certainly did contribute to the failure of Indian Springs State Bank, said Michael Manning, a Kansas City lawyer hired by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation to investigate the bank's failure. Federal law enforcement sources told the Post that the Criminal Intelligence Division of the IRS investigated Azima in connection with the bank's failure. Sources said the IRS referred the evidence it gathered to the Justice Department's Organized Crime Strike Force, which in turn asked the FBI to look into the matter. According to one source in the case, the FBI did not investigate because it was told by the CIA that Azima was, quote, off limits, unquote. That last sentence again. According to one source in the case, the FBI did not investigate because it was told by the CIA that Azima was, quote, off limits, unquote. Again quoting, I was told by the FBI that Azima had a get-out-of-jail-free card, unquote, a source involved in the investigation said. On Sunday, the Post reported that evidence related to the nation's savings and loan crisis suggested a possible link between the CIA and organized crime and the failure of 22 SNLs. Indian Springs is a bank and was not included on the list, but the Post found evidence linking Azima and another key figure in the bank's collapse to failed SNLs. The other was Mario Renda, R-E-N-D-A, a Long Island money broker now serving a federal prison sentence for racketeering and bank fraud. Renda is one of the major figures in this country's savings and loan fraud crisis. He brokered billions of dollars of deposits into SNLs that later failed, including Mainland Savings in Houston. In many cases, these deposits were tied to loans made to Renda's associates, loans which later went bad and contributed to the failure of the thrifts. Indian Springs is the first place Renda was caught in the scam. He brokered $6 million in deposits into Indian Springs in exchange for loans to his associates. Renda later avoided most banks and concentrated on SNLs. Renda has ties to the Gambino and Lucchese mafia crime families in New York. He also has connections to Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi Arabian middleman and arms dealer who was involved in the Iran-Contra affair. I would interrupt the article. Bear in mind that elements of the Gambino crime family intersect very heavily with the P2 milieu that we took a look at in Radio Free America shows 17 through 21 about the Pope shooting, and that we came back to in A Vengeance in Radio Free America shows 32, 34, and various addenda to 34, including and especially the Shikarki AG case. And again, check the archives for those. In any event, reviewing very quickly, we have Indian Springs State. I'm going to have to get that. I keep saying Indian State. Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas. That goes down in considerable measure as a result of Global International Airways and a bad loan made to that. Global, apparently, is owned by EATSCO, an operation involving some of the same Purple Wilson team that were involved in the Christic Institute suit and that we've looked at for so many years here on this broadcast. The main names associated with Indian Springs State Bank, Azima, Russo, and Renda. Renda is connected to Khashoggi as well. Global, in turn, intersects with two other airlines, Southern Air Transport and Race Airways, both involved in aspects of the Iran-Contra scandal. Race in getting arms to Iran, Southern Air Transport in getting arms to the Contras, and quite possibly getting drugs then back into the United States as well. Those are the main connections. Three airlines, Global, Race, and Southern Air Transport, all connected. Those in turn connected to EATSCO, and Global in turn connected to the Indian Springs State Bank. The main names associated there, Azima, Russo, and Renda. How all of those things relate? Well, Pete Bruton has set them forth in the Houston Post of February 8th of 1990 as follows. This is an article datelined, A Bank's Shadowy Demise, subheaded, Investigators Say Probe Was Blocked Because of CIA Link. It's datelined Kansas City. Federal authorities who investigated the failure of a small Kansas bank during the mid-1980s were advised to back off a key figure in its collapse because he had ties to the Central Intelligence Agency, sources involved in the probe have told the Houston Post. The investigation centered on Farhad Azima, 48, a native Iranian whose family had ties to the Shah and whose name is linked in court documents and other evidence to the CIA and a number of organized crime figures. Azima was the fourth largest shareholder in Indian Springs State Bank of Kansas City, Kansas. He and his companies, including Global International Airways, borrowed more than $1 million from the bank. The airline got its start in 1978, shipping cattle to Iran and filed for bankruptcy 5 years later. Azima has also contributed money to Republican and Democratic candidates, although records show the bulk of his donations have gone to the GOP. In 1986, he was allowed to reschedule his testimony in a federal court case so he could attend a Washington function for key Republican donors. Global International, based in Kansas City, Missouri, started with one Boeing 707 aircraft. The fleet grew to 14 707s, making Global one of the nation's largest charter airlines.